From the KTOO newsroom, I'm Pablo Arauz Peña with a local and statewide news update. Coming up, kittens, babies, and bears. But first, 9 cases of COVID-19 have been linked to a seafood processor in Juneau. According to a release from the city and borough of Juneau, 8 close contacts of a resident who tested positive for the virus earlier this month also tested positive this week. The cases are associated with Alaska Glacier Seafoods. 4 of the new cases are residents and 4 are non-residents. All of the individuals are isolating and their close contacts are quarantining. Fred Meyer, Safeway, Home Depot, and Petco are the latest big retailers in Juneau to require their customers to wear masks to prevent the spread of the coronavirus. Fred Meyer and Home Depot's policies go into effect on Wednesday. Safeway's on Tuesday, and a local manager of Petco says it will go into effect on Monday. The announcements follow the Center for Disease Control and Prevention calling on Americans this week to wear masks. The CDC has been highlighting evidence of their efficacy in limiting the spread of COVID-19. Ketchikan Humane Society volunteers spent hours out in the cold and rain in an attempt to save several kittens abandoned near a local trail. KRBD's Rebecca Tauber reports on the dramatic July 6th rescue that rescued 7 young felines.
It was a dull, gray afternoon when a woman called the Ketchikan Humane Society, concerned about kittens coming in and out of a culvert. When volunteers arrived around 4:30 p.m., they found what seemed to be 5 kittens in the pipe, with a cup of soup nearby. Humane Society's secretary, treasurer, and volunteer, Cindy Hoggard, was on the scene.
Out popped another black kitten, and then threw that one in my shirt, and it settled right in and went sound asleep. And then about 15 minutes later, another black kitten showed up.
Throughout the afternoon, 4 black kittens left the culvert for the safety of the volunteers. But the remaining white kitten refused to budge.
They were nesting about 25 feet down the pipe. And the pipe goes across the highway and it is open at the other end. So, you know, we were concerned if they could get that far, but it went up vertically. So we didn't think they could climb up that far, but certainly something could climb in the other end and come in and eat them overnight.
So, she called 2 more volunteers to come help. The relief team showed up as a volunteer took the 4 kittens to a foster home. The new volunteers downloaded cat sounds on their phones. In the trees between the road and the highway, they played the sounds past midnight to try and lure her out.
And they're waiting for the white kitty to come, and out pops a black kitten. We're like, what? We had no idea there was another black kitten in there. And they waited and waited, and about an hour later, another black kitten pops out. We're like, what?
From the darkness of the pipe, Hoggard said the volunteers could only see the white kitten and hear mewing. They ultimately rescued 7 kittens in all. Hoggard said if the white kitten had emerged earlier, they might not have the last 2.
The 2 ladies are out in the middle of the night. It's passing midnight, and they're like, we just were cold. They were shivering. And then they heard her. They heard her moving in the culvert. And sure enough, she popped out just enough. They grabbed her, 12:30 a.m.
The whole thing took 8 hours, much of that on a cold, dark night.
And there was a street lamp on the highway that kind of lit the woods up a little, but there sure are a lot of things that crawl around in the night that they were getting the heebie-jeebies quite a bit.
While they're not sure, Hoggard thinks someone left the kittens by the culvert because the kittens were used to people. She said calls about found kittens aren't rare and that the Humane Society has already received lots of applications for adoption. They've named the black kittens Bjorn, Dove, Orso, Cubby, Puma, and Bera. A volunteer took the white kitten home and named her Piper Cub. Reporting in Ketchikan, I'm Rebecca Tauber.
This year, due to COVID-19, the annual Lovey Harris Baby Beauty Contest went viral. Went virtual. The contest allows new parents to announce their newborns and toddlers to the community while showcasing craft, culture, and creativity. KOTZ's Tiffany Creed has more.
Any other year, an announcer would have read this description of Brandy Callhawk Williamson's 2-year-old daughter Wren's traditional regalia to a captivated crowd.
With Wolverine tassels and wildflower kupuk design above. Her bottom kupuk design is the same as Aragon Rack in a much smaller version made with the black and white caption, with dyed alder leather.
Instead, it was the caption on a photo posted online. The contest moved to a Facebook group this year to protect vulnerable populations from COVID-19. In one photo Williamson submitted, Wren wears a blueberry-spangled utikluk and mukluks passed down a generation. In the other, she wears the aforementioned parki.
It gives the parents a chance to show their history of their family if they're from upriver or coastal.
That's Saima Chase, the organizer of the contest and former baby contestant herself back in 1982.
Each family has different types of designs for utikluks and parkis and trim, and I think it gives them a chance to showcase what and where their babies came from, you know, where their family's from.
The event has been going on for decades, with Chase's aunt, Lovie Harris, spearheading it in the 80s and 90s. The city honored Harris after her death by naming the contest after her. Chase says it takes a lot of work to sew traditional garments, and she wanted to give parents who had already invested a lot of time and effort a chance to participate before their babies were too old. She says she wanted the essential elements of the pageant to remain.
I didn't want them to, you know, be discouraged by everything that was going on. I wanted to make sure we kept it like we usually do when we have in-person competitions, when we introduce them with their Inupiaq names and who their grandparents are and where they came from and then what they're wearing and who made it.
Sholina Noctok Lee has experienced both live and virtual baby contests with her sons, Leif and Bjorn. Leif won the overall prize in 2018. He wore a full sealskin suit with a waterproof coat and pants made of seal intestine. She didn't get to see her vision for her youngest boy, Bjorn, pan out the way she thought this year.
Because I thought it would cancel, I didn't quite get all the sewing done that I had anticipated. I was planning on making like a fish leather vest and a few other items that I didn't get to make.
Even so, in the picture she submitted to the contest, her son wears a parki made from the fur of a black bear caught by the boy's late grandfather. Though she felt the virtual contest was well done, she misses the collaborative energy the live contest brings.
It's a competition, but we're all kind of helping each other out, and just seeing everybody else's creativity really helps encourage others to try and do something different for themselves as well. So hoping it'll be live.
By going virtual this year, the contest was opened up to parents who have relational ties but live outside the region. Williamson, Wren's mother, is originally from Ambler but now lives in Craig. She says this change made it easier for her daughter to participate this year.
I was actually thankful that they found an alternative way to have everybody participate. And it was awesome, too, because people who normally don't get to be in Kotzebue, they were able to participate from Anchorage, you know, Norvik, Kiana, Shungnak, Kobuk, Ambler.
In addition to overall placements in both age categories, titles like Most Traditional are usually bestowed upon babies who, by the end of a long pageant, are sometimes sleeping as the certificates and trophies are given out. This year, no prizes were given, partially due to a halt in fundraising, though each participant was sent a certificate in the mail. Chase says she didn't want the event to turn into a social media popularity contest, but rather an opportunity to lift spirits and continue tradition. Reporting from Kotzebue, I'm Tiffany Creed.
Berries are ripening at lower elevations around Juneau, but the salmon runs have been sparse so far, and so Juneau's bear population has been getting creative. At least two different bears in the area have been opening car doors in search of food. Alaska Department of Fish and Game's Roy Churchwell says they have a preferred style of door handle.
It's mostly the flat ones that are kind of long and wide. It looks like it usually starts at least by trying to open the door with its mouth. So maybe a door handle that you push in the button might be a little more difficult for this bear.
Churchwell says one vehicle with locked doors was damaged when a bear climbed onto the hood and smashed the windshield trying to get in. He says bears have a sense of smell 7 times greater than a bloodhound.
We've heard of the bear getting in there for just a small can of peanuts. So any food or food residue or food smell that you can keep out of your car, we're asking people to try and keep their vehicles as clean as they can.
In addition to removing other attractants like birdseed and pet food, Churchwell recommends locking vehicle doors. One bear has been getting into vehicles in the Mendenhall Peninsula area along Engineers Cutoff. One of the bears is closer to downtown. Starting with the vehicles in the Mountainside neighborhood above Twin Lakes, it was recently spotted near Highland Drive and Bear Ends Avenue. Churchwell says they put out put out a trap for that bear, but it moved away from the area before it could be trapped and relocated. This is KTOO News.